So who is Alvin Braggadocious, the district attorney up in Manhattan in New York? And what is this case against former President Donald Trump all about? That and a few other stories today.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, yesterday, it began that trial up in New York for President Donald Trump. The case brought by Alvin Bragg, or as I call him, Alvin Braggadocious. And who is Alvin Braggadocious? Why should we even care? What are the merits of this case? And I want you to think this through logically. That and the other just abomination of the law that occurred in Judge Egregon's court not long ago. Now that guy is a buffoon. Really, he is. But then again, when you are sold out to abortion, you're sold out to transgenderism, you're sold to Moloch, Ishtar, and Gaia worship, which is what these people are, and of course the money, fame, and all that goes with it, you have a delusional mind. And I believe that Judge Egregon is a delusional individual, a very mentally unstable individual, and a stain on the justice system that once was in New York State. It doesn't exist anymore. It's all politics. It really is. Let the people that do rape and murder, let them get out with no bail. Just make excuses. Don't really go after real crime and just play politics. And that's what this braggadocious character is doing. Now, I saw some things online, and I see a lot of things that people send me, and I always do my best to verify and double check. I really hadn't paid any attention to Alvin Braggadocious because up until recently, what reason would I have? I don't live in New York. A lot of people say he's worth a lot of money. And so I did a little checking, and yes, indeed he is. He's worth a lot of money. An incredible amount of money, which begs the question, why is he working a job that pays $210,000 a year? Now, number one, let me pause for a moment. That's pretty much garbage income in Manhattan, because it is one of the most expensive places in the world to live. That's like making $40,000 or $35,000 where I live, literally, because of the cost, expenses, taxes, and all the garbage that goes on in the rotten apple called New York City. So why would a guy take a job for $210,000 a year when his real income from his other stuff is about $325,000 per month? Oh, by the way, he is worth, and this I got from the Bar Association and other information that is public record, he is worth approximately $41 million. Why would somebody that owns commercial real estate in New York, in Manhattan, and in, I believe, in Queens, in Brooklyn, why would he be the district attorney for a mere $200,000? I guess he's a good citizen wanting to give back to the world. No, I really don't buy that. I think that's the big lie. So why is he the district attorney? How did he get elected? Where did all the money come from? And in reading his history, and some of this from the state of New York, he's such an incredible, wise lawyer. He went to what I consider a formerly great university here in the United States, which has become increasingly an intellectual sewer. He went to Harvard. That's where he got his law degree. He was born in 1973, graduated with a Bachelor of Arts from Harvard College in 1995. In 1999, he got his Juris Doctor. He was the editor of the Harvard Civil Rights, Civil Liberties Law Review. He clerked for a federal judge before he joined a law firm where he focused on white-collar fraud and civil rights issues. He then joined the Attorney General of New York under Eliot Spitzer before becoming the Chief of Litigation and Investigations for the New York City Council. Now, he left in 2009. He left the City Council to serve as the Assistant United States Attorney General in the Southern District of New York. He left all of these positions in 2018. He became a professor at the New York Law School, where he was co-director of the Racial Justice Project. He became a member of the Board of Directors for the Legal Aid Society. And I'm looking here at some papers in front of me. He's got a real estate portfolio worth about $18 million. Owns a bunch of luxury cars, I think, right here. I'm looking at the list that is published. A Mercedes-Benz AMG GT, a Jaguar F-Type, BMW X7, a Rolls-Royce Cullinan, a Porsche Macan, and a Lexus ES. And they try to tell you that his financial growth and accumulated wealth reflect his accomplishments in the field of law and his success in politics. Well, there's some truth in that. He is a, shall we say, political animal. In some of the readings that I've done from reputable sources, once again, including his bio from the state of New York and other material that's readily available online, he's such a great lawyer, apparently. I mean, Google was paying him upwards of $10,000 per hour. Let me say that again. Companies like Google, a lot of woke companies were paying him these outrageous sums of money for his legal expertise, but you really can't find out what Google got for their money. And this is what, or if it's there, you can't really find it. I'll put it that way. Makes me wonder, when somebody who's a public servant is getting wealthy on the side. Now, the difference between an Alvin Braggadocious and a Donald Trump gained his wealth long before he got into politics and lost money in the process. Alvin Bragg was making all these big dollars on the side. Why? Do you follow where my mind is going to? I hate to think this way. I really do. But I'm really beginning to think that this guy was being groomed as the perfect individual to be useful to the deep state. After all, he got all these great jobs. Man, I know I'm going to regret saying this, but I'll say it anyway. Was he a diversity, equity, and inclusion candidate for his hirings? Was he a made man like Barack Obama, just kind of the perfect guy for the job? Is he really that good on the law? And honestly, I don't think that he really is as smart as all these glowing bios claim that he is. But he's the one prosecuting a case in New York against the former president. By the way, two times before he was offered this case, when they were beginning to try to find a way to keep Trump from running for president, they were trying to find any way to do it. The Southern District of New York got a hold of Trump's tax records and found no case against him. That was the federal. They tried and they failed. And so they started shopping this any way to get Trump in lawfare. How are we going to do this dirty deed? You have to find people that are willing to sell their integrity to do it. And I'm going to come out and say, this is my opinion. This is Bob Bierman's opinion. Alvin Bragg has already proven to me he declined to touch this kind of a case twice. Two times. Why? Because he felt it had no merit. But something changed his mind suddenly. Could it be when the White House started going out and soliciting buffoons to do their dirty work? I mean, remember, it was President Biden that said we're going to keep this man from ever taking power any way we can do it. He needed to find buffoons. And really, it's not so much they get Trump in jail. They just want to keep him occupied between now and November. Hey, if they get a conviction, fine. They know they're going to lose all of these on appeal. None of these cases will ever stand in the long run. I don't care which one. None of them have any merit. And I'm going to explain why this case is so stupid that I cannot believe somebody would risk making their Harvard degree look like used toilet paper to take it. But then again, you have delusional people, visions of grandeur, politics above everything. My soul has been sold. I have to pay the piper. I sometimes wonder why a company like Google would go to a person like Alvin Bragg and pay 10 grand a year when he's busy trying to be a prosecutor or a law professor or something else that doesn't pay much. Why is he getting all of this money? And you have to wonder if he was told politely, you take this case. If you don't, all this great money could vanish and you're on your own. And don't think that is not possible in this corrupt nation that we live in today. I think it's very plausible. It makes more sense than anything else that's out there. Just like Fannie Willis, you find the stupidest people in the world to take the case. Right now, the media is just salivating, making all kinds of claims about this case. This case that Alvin Bragg didn't want to take to begin with. What changed his mind? I think money talks. You know it and I know it. And understand, by the way, every time you hear some idiot on MSNBC, I call it Mind Syphilis NBC for a reason. They prove it daily, hourly, every couple of minutes they prove my point. These are the most despicable human beings pretending that they are journalists on the planet. And they get the worst of the lot and they just put them all together in one place. And they and CNN, ABC, CBS, New York Slimes, Washington Compost, all of them, they all call this a hush money trial. Hush money. Well, there's a problem with that. Nowhere in any of the charging documents, nowhere in any of the indictments is anything even ever said about so-called hush money. That's a lie. That is a lie. The media is confusing almost everybody since, like I say, none of the counts being pled against the president are on any account of any kind of a payoff. Trump never bribed anybody, never paid off anybody. In the transactions in this case, Trump is accused of legally, now listen carefully, he's accused of legally buying through a lawyer what are called common law copyrights or story rights and non-disclosure contracts. Now let me say that again, if you missed it, listen carefully. Trump is being accused of legally buying through a lawyer what are called common law copyrights. Like story rights. You know, I've got a story I want to sell to the National Enquirer. Well, we're buying the rights back. And there's a non-disclosure agreement. Once again, if what they are claiming is true, that Trump legally purchased through a lawyer common law copyrights or non-disclosure contracts, there's nothing illegal about it. It's not even remarkable in any sense of the word. Transactions like this happen every single day all over the United States in every state. It's not hush money. These are legal transactions, period. And all these idiots that claim to be journalists who are intellectually, mentally, and morally and spiritually bankrupt keep running around going, it's hush money. Now, let me pause just for a moment. In my work career over the years, there have been several times where I have signed an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement. One time, and when working for a government entity, I signed a non-disclosure agreement of the kind of work that I was doing. And there was a reason. Anything that would be said about what I was doing would come through a county spokesperson. Period. Not me. I can understand why they have to be protective, especially if you understood the information to which I was dealing with at the time. Another time it was with a private employer working on a project. And if any of the details of that project got leaked out to competition, others could try to steal the idea and pretty much knock them out of the box. And so with that project, a number of years ago, I too signed a non-disclosure agreement before I was even bought into the project. Now, let me explain something else. These reporters calling it hush money, they're trying to figure out the reason. Number one, Trump never stopped them or hushed them up. He had to pay them. In other words, they were willing to sell their silence on these items that they could sell to. Once again, these women were looking for financial gain. Let me make that clear. These women that had these stories to sell were doing it for financial gain. And these women, as far as I'm concerned, could have cared less who paid them. Whether it was the New York Times, whether it was the National Enquirer, whether it was, you know, Axios, doesn't matter. They were shopping a story. And so what the state of New York is contending is that Trump legally purchased the story. So what's the issue about that? I mean, this is the basis of their case, that Trump got a non-disclosure agreement out of him. And actually, the truth is, an attorney, who, by the way, is doing prison time for being a serial liar, is the one that negotiated the deal. None of these idiotic, half-witted, stupid reporters that, I mean, look, I used to do news many decades ago. And if I was as sloppy as the folks at ABC, NBC, CBS, the New York Times, if I was that sloppy, I would have been fired early on, because nobody would deal with allow that kind of dishonesty on their radio stations or TV stations. It just wouldn't happen. The Stormy Daniels story, porn star, broke years ago. And journalists have been unable, or I think really unwilling, to confirm any of the story. Trump has denied the affair. And for whatever it's worth, you know, this individual, her real name is Stephanie Clifford, Stormy Daniels. She broke her non-disclosure agreement and sold the story to media anyway and collected lots of money from a lot of parties. And she lost against Trump. Others have too. And so this nitwit, this bozo, this buffoon, Alvin Braggadocious, this morbidly obese case includes 34 criminal counts. The case is really just about whether Trump's people's notations on 11 checks written to his lawyer were properly characterized as legal expenses. This is all this criminal prosecution and the current candidate is all about. If you had tried to bring, I've lived in New York State. If you tried to bring this case in Wayne County, New York, upstate New York, no judge would touch it. No attorney would touch it. They'd laugh you out of the courtroom as being a buffoon. But see, uniquely in Manhattan, you can get a jury of delusional reprobates because the city is just crawling with them. 85% people that are, you know, didn't vote for Trump, don't like him anyway. They want to make sure he never gets into office. So they'll do their little part. This case will never survive a real court with real justice looking at real law. There is no case here. And worse, the New York State, the Democrat-controlled legislature, and the intellectually bankrupt and just buffoonish clown, Kathy Hochul, they had to pass a law And they did it under the guise, oh, because of COVID, we never could get to some cases, so we need to extend the statute of limitations. Well, they did it for Trump. This case couldn't even be bought because the statute of limitations expired ages ago. It's going to be fascinating to watch how this trial breaks down. And we're watching New York State make judicial history, and it's really bad history. This, to me, this idiotic trial to me, now that you know what it's all about, a completely, absolutely legal in every state non-disclosure agreement where you get paid money for your NDA and sell the rights to your story, totally legal. Happens every day, even in New York, in California, every day, everywhere. Even in Georgia, Virginia, Arkansas, Texas, Minnesota, it doesn't matter. These kind of things occur on a daily basis. It's part of doing business in a complex and litigious world. And nothing about it is illegal. Even the federal government, the Federal Elections Commission, looked at it. Was there anything in a violation? They found nothing wrong. Yet Alvin Braggadocious is trying to claim that it is wrong under federal law. He can't bring a lawsuit on federal charges that they won't even touch. I mean, when Merrick Garland won't even get involved in that one, that's saying something. This case has one goal in mind: to get a syphilis-brained jury of Manhattanites to convict Trump, to take money from him, to force him into an appeal, to keep him off the campaign trail. And they know full well, at the end of the day, at the end of it all, it will die an ugly and horrible death, either in a New York State appeals court or the Supreme Court, where it'll be laughed out. Alvin Braggadocious, is your legal career worth that much? Is your integrity worth that much? Apparently that it is. Apparently, in my opinion, all this money funneled through all these woke corporations for your legal prowess. I would love to do a real in-depth story on the kind of cases that Alvin, that's lawyer-client privilege. It smells to me on the surface, and I could be wrong, but it smells like a payoff. It smells like being bought and paid for. We're going to make you a very wealthy guy. And I mean, if I was Alvin Braggadocious and I had all this real estate and all this money and all this investment, I'd be saying that I'm not going to waste my time playing $200,000 a year lawyer occupying 60 to 70 hours of my week when I could be making more millions in New York real estate. Of course, he also knows that in New York State, as a developer, as Donald Trump learned in Engregon's kangaroo court, as Kathy Hochul was pretty much saying, you can do business in New York, but you can understand the implied, but you do it our way. If we don't like your politics, we can crush you like we're crushing Trump. We can have Letitia James come after you and make up stuff and put you into a court with a kangaroo court and a kangaroo idiot judge. Engregon should have his law degree burned in public. He should be ridiculed and mocked and never heard from again. This is a miscarriage of justice. Do you believe in this mission and ministry, what we do here every day? It's not easy. By the way, a week from today, I'm having surgery. Really just exploratory micro, and this is to see how I'm doing with my bladder cancer. I know a lot of you have been asking about it, writing about it, concerned about it. And I want to tell you up front, I have a Christian doctor. So I'm just thrilled. And I'm not under any kind of chemo as you would normally know it. And I'll talk about it on the other side of the break. If you believe in our ministry, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. Truth2ponder.com. or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. I'll give you all that info real quick on the other side of this break, and we will be right back.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Luther's Satanic Footholds. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now, Martin Luther, the man who helped usher in the Reformation, who translated the Bible into German, who refocused the church on the grace of God, Martin Luther was used by God. But he was also used by the devil. See, at the end of his life, he let bitterness consume his thoughts. The Bible says to bless the Jewish people, but Luther wrote this about the Jewish people. He said, set fire to their synagogues. This is to be done in honor of our Lord and Christendom. Second, I advise that their houses also be razed and destroyed, that safe conduct on the highway be abolished completely for the Jews, all money and treasure be taken from them. Now, it's written that we are to give no room for the devil. Luther, unfortunately, gave the devil more than room. He gave them a country. Because the satanic fire of anti-Semitism would grow through his fanning until in the 20th century, the Nazis would republish these tracts of Luther word for word against the Jews to ultimately lead in the death of 6 million men, women, and children. A stark lesson. Even Luther, with all his Bible knowledge, let Satan have a foothold in his life, a bitterness, a grudge. That's all the devil needed to accomplish his genocide of the children of Israel. So too with you. Is there something you're allowing in your life that shouldn't be there? That's a foothold for Satan. And you know what you need to do? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Because all satanic footholds end with holocausts. Want more? Ask for the Reich and the Kingdom. Now, got some great blessings for you. The free gift, the most incredible evidence of Messiah in the writings of the rabbis, in the mystery of the temple doors. You'll love it. Plus, Sapphire is guaranteed to give you the power of living a victorious life in God. You'll get it all free. How do you get this stuff free? Easy. Just remember Jesus's Hebrew name. It's Yeshua. You dial it, you'll be blessed. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll be blessed, but call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, my friend, you're on this earth for a great purpose. To be a blessing. So I invite you to join me in bringing the greatest blessing to the unreached peoples of this world, salvation to five continents with over 1 billion people. Just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's for the Great Commission. That's YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. Just write to the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111 in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. The zip 07644. It's the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, give no room for the devil, but all for God. Peace be to you and Messiah, Adon Olam, the Lord of all.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of this Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I want to thank the many of you that take the time to support this radio program. We've been on the air heading toward 4 years on WRMI, and so many of you have been faithful to keep us on that station. A few months ago, we added WTWW, and many of you are understanding that shortwave airtime is not free. And your gift, large or small, and believe me, I am thankful for even the very smallest gift, because I know it's for many like the widow's mite. And I pray that God blesses your gift back to you. Now, next week, two things. I have a surgery that occurs on Tuesday, a week from today. And this is to find out how I'm doing. And I think my heart says I'm doing pretty decent. So keep me in prayer. We have a lot of work to get done this week because I need to be a couple of radio programs ahead because of the travel up and then the travel back. And I like to have a day after to recoup just in case it takes a little longer. And so I'm trying to get a lot of next week's radio programs done by next Monday. And so just keep us in prayer. If you can support this ministry, consider a gift. You can do it either at the website, truth2ponder.com, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia 24319. Now, Jim Calhoun has some thoughts about propaganda by the things they, shall we say, withhold or don't tell you. Here's Jim Calhoun.
Thanks, Bob. Again, I'm very thankful that you're letting me come to the microphone today and be included on Truth to Ponder. I do appreciate it. Today, I'm going to be talking about more propaganda, but this time I'm going to be talking about things that are omitted that are almost as strong as telling propaganda and lies. Now, as far as I can tell, the United States is under attack. Of course, we're under attack by inflation and illegals crossing our border. And if you don't think we're being attacked with that, well, just check with all the municipalities that are being overrun and hospitals that are in financial trouble because of the people coming across the border need medical care. They're getting it, but nobody's paying for it. And so our systems are being crashed by millions of people that are flooding across our border. By the invitation of an illegitimate president, by the way. But the things I really want to talk about today are the physical attacks that we're suffering. And as far as I can tell, we're in year two or possibly even year three of atrocious attacks on the United States that the media is just calling coincidence or accidents. I don't know how anyone can watch the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. I challenge anyone to watch that video and tell me that that bridge wasn't purposely taken down. I'm going to point to a couple of things I've seen in the videos that are very disturbing. Well, first of all, everyone talks about that ship lost power because the lights were going on and off. And then I've heard that the black smoke that's coming out of the exhaust on that is because they were starting emergency generators to try to regain power. While all that may sound possible, watch the video. Watch it close. Watch it several times. The lights do flicker on and off. That could be a signal of some sort. That might not have been a power failure at all. Nobody has even considered that. And I'll get into why I think it might be a signal here in a minute. But anyone that's seen a diesel engine that has not been running at full speed, that's just kind of been perking along, when you push down on the accelerator and you open the throttle, well, a lot of black smoke comes out. And this is just my opinion, but watching that video, it's clear to me anyway that that ship, that whoever was controlling that ship stepped on the throttle and was trying to bring that ship up to a higher speed, a ramming speed. And the way that ship maneuvered, that tight turn it made directly towards the bridge, looked to me like someone that was aiming the ship at that bridge with the throttle wide open. And if you look at the video with that thought in your head, other than a ship that's out of control because it's out of power, I think you'll see what I'm seeing. But one of the disturbing parts, and I didn't see it initially, and I had it pointed out to me, and so I started watching multiple videos, and every video had the same thing on it. So I know it wasn't one video that was doctored. But right as the ship struck this Francis Scott Key Bridge, there were small explosions across some of the supporting tubes, but at the joints where they joined, as they snapped apart, there were explosions. Very small, but very noticeable when you look for them. So the question is that just explosions from the metal ripping apart? Is that a natural occurrence? I've never seen metal throw off fire and smoke as they broke apart, but I've never seen anything that big break apart. Or did they break apart because there were plastic explosives up there on every joint? And were the lights going on and off on the ship some sort of a signal to somebody to be ready to remotely set these explosives off? You're going to have to watch the video very close. And don't watch the ship. Watch the top of the bridge where the metal joins. And once you see that, and you might do a web search and find some videos that people have noticed that, so they've zoomed in on the video, and it's very clear that there's some sort of an explosion. And I have to admit, the first time I saw it, I thought that it possibly was a fake video. And so I decided to pull up multiple videos and just watch these same spots to see if I saw smoke, and I saw them on every video, so I do believe it's legitimate. But yet we're told, it's an accident. It was an accident. Nothing to see here. You realize how fast the people that are supposed to investigate such things, how they said it was an accident, and illegitimate Joe Biden even said, and the federal government's going to cover 100% of the cost. Why would he say that? All these freight companies have multiple insurance companies that have very deep pockets. That ship was insured. That's another thing that was omitted, is the fact that the ship does have insurance. And one of the pilots of that ship happens to be Ukrainian. Now, that doesn't mean anything in itself, so I don't put a whole lot of stock of his country of origin. But I do find it interesting that no one is questioning the fact that he may be an anti-Zelensky person that wants to see the war stop. And since that port was one of the main ports was supplying equipment for the Ukrainians, I think that does have to be looked into. But there again, we're not being told that there was a Ukrainian, that one of the pilots was a Ukrainian. And then last year, when we had the train derailment in Ohio, where we had that huge, ugly chemical spill, nothing to see there, folks. Move on. I do believe that was an act of sabotage. And the way that was handled was totally wrong. So I believe there's a great possibility that that was an attack. And what about all of our food facilities and chicken farms and all of these processing plants that are burning down in warehouses? That can't be a coincidence. And then recently in Scranton, Pennsylvania, we had an ammunition factory that produces artillery shells caught fire. Now, that could have been an accident or a coincidence, but there's an awful lot of coincidences going on around here, that's for sure. And what about all of those barges that somehow came unhooked on the Ohio River? Did they untie themselves? Was someone careless? Or was that an act of sabotage? Again, authorities say it was an accident. Nothing to see here. If the authorities would come out and say, we're investigating the matter, but as of now, our theory is it's an accidental, that these are accidents, but we are investigating, then I would be more inclined to believe they're likely accidents. But they're being definitive, saying, nothing to see here, just an accident. But I have noticed that with the Francis Scott Key Bridge, there is now a criminal investigation starting. And I think history will prove that that was very much an act of sabotage, an act of war against the United States. And what about all of these fires that seem to break out? Uncontrollable fires up in Canada last year was just horrid. And I've heard people say, well, that's just global warming. That's climate change. When in fact, they have caught several people that are in that movement of the climate change people the people that want to control the world through their claims of climate change, that some of those groups have actively started some of the fires. But we're not ever told that. We're told that a lightning strike hit in Alberta and burned all the way across Canada. I'm not buying that. I do believe that we have saboteurs attacking, whether it be fringe groups, whether it be eco-terrorism, whether it be other countries, whether it be militant animal rights people, whether it be whoever it may be. And it doesn't seem like anyone's getting to the bottom of anything. And when they do find hard evidence and hard facts, well, our three-letter agencies, the FBI or CIA, will swoop in and the evidence is never seen again or heard about again, like the Hunter Biden laptop. We have a protected class of people in this country, and you're not one of them, and I'm not one of them, that can do no wrong, like the Obamas, the Clintons, the Bidens, the Lindsey Grahams, the Mitch McConnells. They're all of the same ilk. Doesn't matter if they have an R or a D beside their name. These people have created a protected class of what they are calling themselves elites. And these same elites are using punitive measures against who they want to, as far as using our justice system. Just take a look at what's happening to Donald Trump. And a kind of a rabbit trail on that, you need to check out how much money the prosecutors and the people involved that are trying to prosecute Trump, take a look at their salaries and then look at how much money they have in their homes and how many homes they have. And it's very obvious that there's an awful lot of money changing hands in high places to try to go after people they want to go after. It's just like illegitimate Joe Biden. Take a look at his net worth and his beautiful houses and where they're located. And ask yourself, how did he make that money? You see, it's obvious to most thinking people that we are being held hostage, as far as we the people, to an elite class that only has their interest in mind, not ours. And how dare we question them? Everything they say is right. Everything that we do that's contrary of that is wrong. And it's sad to see a lot of people are buying that narrative, but they are. When the terrorist attack happened near Moscow at the Crocus City Hall Theater that killed 144 people and wounded about 500. About a day later, the United States government official position was that was ISIS, or an offshoot of ISIS. Nothing to see here. Case closed. Don't look at Ukraine. Don't look at anyone else. We know who did it, and it was them. And so the Russians started investigating, and here comes the criticism. Why are they investigating? Everyone knows it was militant Islamic people that did this. Nothing to see here. Move along. And if that would have happened in the United States, there would be congressional investigations, there would be Senate hearings, there would be investigations from the local police department all the way up through the national security people. Homeland Security would be involved. CIA, FBI, everyone would be involved in investigating if that massacre happened in the United States. That would be like after the Twin Towers went down, if the Russians would have said, nothing to see there. That was just a group of militants. That was just a group of militants that did that. Nothing to see here. And I really don't think we still have got to the bottom of that one. I think we've been lied to for a lot of years on that one. But I do want to point out that after the Trade Center went down, Russia offered the United States massive amounts of help as far as security and also goods and materials and financing. And when Russia had this terrorist attack on their soil, all we could do in return is tell them that they were wrong. It was just a group of Muslim militants that decided to do that. Nothing to see here. Move on. And someday all of this propaganda and all of these lies and all the omissions, we're all going to have to pay a price for it. For the corrupt politicians of the world, not just the United States. The people are just held hostage to all the corruption and all of the misdeeds and horrible decisions that are made by people that don't have any interest of their country at all. They just want to put money in their pocket. It's just kind of like wash, rinse, and repeat. One group of corrupt politicians will go in and take advantage of people and do what they do and get a bunch of money. Then they'll end up retiring or dying in office after being there for 50 years, which that in itself I think is criminal, that we have career politicians that sit there and do nothing but just rake in billions of dollars for their families. But when that group of corrupt politicians goes out, we just put in another group of corrupt politicians, because everything's kind of done by machine. And it's a well-oiled machine that just puts the people they want to have in. They want to put the people they want in positions of power. And if we do happen to sneak in two or three honest ones, well, they get drummed out of there pretty fast. Or they're knocked off of any committee. They have no power. They have trouble getting any legislation to the floor. But I'm sure that that happens after they're offered perks, let's say, if they play the game. And I think that's every country. And I don't think we're going to change that. But what we can change is our attitude towards what they're doing and what it's doing to us. There's no reason that our economy went from almost being booming in 2019 to where right now it's almost collapsing. There's no reason for that other than corruption. You might say, well, the COVID virus came in and really messed everything up. Well, it did, but the COVID virus was created in a lab. It's man-made. And had Dr. Fauci and his group had they not had unlimited power to do things they shouldn't have been doing, there would have been no pandemic. None whatsoever. And they're cooking up new viruses all the time to wash, rinse, and repeat. And so we're under attack from other nations. We're under attack from our own government, in my opinion. We're under attack by radical groups such as Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and some of the militant animal rights people. Then we have outsiders like George Soros and this Klaus Schwab, and anybody that has money that thinks that they have power are doing their level best to come in and try to change things in their image or bring the country down or bring all of the countries in the world down. I don't know exactly what their goal is other than they want to subjugate you and me. They want us to be nothing more than subjects, serfs, or slaves. They come up with Agenda 2020 and Agenda 2030 and all of these think tanks. They sit around and invent ways to just put you and me in a corral. One of the things they're omitting is how bad that they're ripping up the fabric of the entire world as far as nations trading together and cooperating and getting along. Just because these so-called elites wanted to start a war to cover up some of their crimes and also to try to dig them out of trillions in debt and who knows why else, I doubt if the United States will ever have positive relations ever again with Russia. You might think, well, that's no big deal. Well, yes, it is. Because Russia is the largest country in the world. And this world needs natural resources, and Russia has an abundance of natural resources that will no longer be available to the Western world. And the news media is omitting all of the things that are going to affect the United States for future generations. They're omitting the fact that countries are flocking to join BRICS. And one of the reasons they want to join BRICS is to get away from us. The news media and our government will never admit and never tell we the people how much ill will our corrupt government is spreading worldwide. The Western world has what they call the G7, which is supposedly the big dogs in the hunt. Well, right now, BRICS either surpasses them or is equal to them in power, and within 5 to 7 years, BRICS is going to leave the G7 in the dirt, just choking on dust. We're not told that. The world's economy is not going to be dictated by the West. The world's economy is going to be dictated by BRICS. And tariffs are going to be put on us. Sanctions are going to be put on us. The government, the news media, and others are omitting. They're omitting telling us the consequences of their horrible actions. So all of the goodwill that has been gained over the centuries has been absolutely flushed down the tubes. It's gone. We have South American countries that are breaking away, heading towards BRICS, and it won't be long before every Latin American country is going to be a member of BRICS. It won't be long until every Asian country is a member of BRICS. And what's going to happen is that the United States is going to huff and puff and bluster like they have been doing for the last few decades. But a new house is being built. And the United States and the rest of the Western world is not going to be welcome to that house. We're not going to be welcome on that property. And so we're going to be stuck with trading with just Europe. And Europe is bankrupt. And they have lost forever their supplies of cheap energy. And so the price of your gas that you're going to pay at the pump is going to be forever higher because of the corrupt politicians we have today. The news media is not going to tell you any of this. They're going to omit anything that is bad news for the elites. I'm telling you right now that I see this very plainly, that the Western elites are getting put into a corral of their own by the BRICS nations. The United States has been a leader of the world for a long time, but we're about to be deposed. We're not being told that, but we're being set up for a massive fall. People no longer respect our country. They look at our illegitimate elections, our illegitimate president, our Congress and Senate who are corrupt. Almost every country in the world knows that you can go in and buy one of our politicians. We have evil people like George Soros and Bill Gates, all these people that think that they're so smart, the smartest men in the world, and all they're doing is just imploding everything. And that's something the news media will never tell you, is that we are being held captive by a bunch of, I think, satanic and insane people that call themselves elites that are actually running an awful lot of things in our government, if not the whole government. And that's being omitted as well. Now, while these are my opinions, I think I could back every one of them up by just showing you statistics of how our economy is failing, how many countries are rushing to join BRICS, and it won't be long before Mexico will even be a member of BRICS, and then all of a sudden, Mexico is not going to be in our corner, and China's not going to be in our corner. And so the people that think, well, we don't need cheap goods from China, we'll buy from Mexico. Well, your kids and grandkids will probably not be able to buy from Mexico because of what these evil people are doing today. What's happening in the world, folks, is generational. And our corrupt people, in government and outside of government, have blown it. They've destroyed the credibility of the United States. And the Western world, the Italys and Germanys and France and England and all the other Western countries, are like vassal states, and they just happily jumped over the cliff like a lemming right after the United States jumped first. And that's something the news media will never tell you. And I, for one, am sick of it. and I'm keeping a very close eye on all of this, and so I can stay out of their grasp as much as possible. The reason I'm doing this segment is I want everyone just to keep your eyes open and don't just listen to the news media and believe everything you hear. And sometimes you can't even believe what you see in this age of doctoring videos and false flags and all sorts of things. It's getting ridiculous, actually. So I think it's best to stay in prayer and pray for discernment and wisdom and use that discernment and use that wisdom for the betterment of you and your family and your fellow man. I think that's the course we need to take. I'd like to thank Bob Bierman for having me again today. I do appreciate it. And until next segment, everyone, stay strong, keep your powder dry, and never ever forget, replace fear with faith. Now back to Bob.
And once again, thank you, Jim, for stepping up to the plate to help me out this week. As I mentioned earlier, we're trying to get as many radio programs done between now and this coming Monday, because I'm going to need to have a few days away to take care of this little surgery on Tuesday, a week from today, and a little time to get back and recoup before I begin to record radio programs. So a lot of work to get done between the church, where I'm pastor, and the radio program that we do each day. Keep us in prayer. Hard to believe that we've been doing this program now for well over 3.5 years, not that many months to go, and we celebrate our 4th anniversary. And it's only because of you that we're able to do all of this. I don't get paid to do this program. I volunteer my time. I don't get paid to be the pastor of my church. I give my time there as well. Now, I'm not bragging on that. God takes care of our personal needs. But the needs of the church, the needs of the radio program, well, it falls on the congregation and it falls on the listeners. By the way, we are working diligently on preparing to build a radio station here in Southwest Virginia. You may not be able to hear it on the air in Minnesota, but you'll be able to hear it online. We'll be telling you more about that maybe tomorrow, if not definitely by Thursday. My time is free. God has met my need, and I want you to pray for my church. God is just stirring my heart about something that needs to be done with that church, and it's a good thing, let me tell you right now. Pray that we can stay on WTWW. We have some bills coming due next week, and with your help, we can make it all happen. You can visit our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. There you can find the support tab, and it tells you how you can either mail a check or money order to Ancient Word Radio, or even give online using Give, Send, Go. If you prefer, you can always mail your check or money order to Ancient Word Radio. That's who you make it out to as well, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, zip code 24319. Once again, the mailing address, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, 24319. That zip code again, 24319. Thank you for listening, and we will be back tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.